Vinny Hinostroza racing down the right wing, put it in front, they score! Jonathan Toews on the back end! Another perfect feed by Hinostroza! From the right circle over to the left, there was Toews to slap it home!
Sauter's been playing great, I think for myself, just trying to play similar to his game too and just be heavy on the puck and not give plays up and just protect it. And I think Vinny's just a smart player to find the empty areas and he's using his speed, so I think the three of us are working well together.
Jonathan Toews, Blackhawks did go down last night to the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Troy Murray, who also wore 19, a la Mr. Toews, joining us now on 720 WGN. Muzz, you know, your number's going to be hanging in the rafters one of these days. What do you think about like a split, like a little combo? I mean, the Cubs did that with Fergie Jenkins and Greg Maddux. I think I'm not even kidding. You should be up there, too, for all your contributions to the club. What do you think?
All I want on the bottom of it, where nobody else can see it, also worn by. That's
yeah,
all I ask.
Dale Talon will get up there too then.
Exactly.
Troy,
there's no doubt it's going up though at some point.
Right. Troy, the work you and John are doing along with Chris Bowden is at a higher level right now than my favorite hockey team, but I feel they'll come back. Before I start on the Hawks, I've never seen an expansion team dominate this league. I remember you're about my age. I'm about your age when the Blue Jays started in '77. You know, I always cheer for expansion teams. Vegas, how are they so good as an expansion team?
Well, first of all, George McPhee, the general manager, did a fantastic job of selecting the type of players for the team that he wanted to assemble under the head coach Gerard Gallant, who's an excellent coach. You know, they don't have a young team because most of the guys that were left exposed that they picked were kind of in their mid-20s. They have a few veteran players. But all of these guys, and you saw a great example of it last night in the game against the Blackhawks, they're third, fourth line type players, save for a couple of them. So they know how to play a 200-foot game. They're all very reliable in their own end of the ice. And they all, none of these guys were silver spoon players that were entitled something when they came into the NHL. All of their guys on that team were guys that earned the opportunity to play in the NHL. So they have a work ethic mentality that you don't see top to bottom on a lot of teams. And they just work hard. They bought into what the system is that Gerard Gallant is selling them. They work extremely hard to get pucks back. They challenge the net, and they're relentless. They do not stop from the opening puck drop until the last buzzer goes. They're one of the hardest working teams that I've seen in a long, long time. The question is for me is when it gets to the playoff atmosphere, when teams elevate their play, do they have enough skill to match up against some of the teams that will match their intensity and energy in a game going into the postseason? But they're good. They're legit.
Troy, when you're talking about their work ethic, there was a story in the paper in the Tribune Thursday morning about how Jonathan Toews woke up Wednesday morning in New York and he felt like a need for a sense of urgency, that the Blackhawks were actually in last place. You know, doesn't every hockey player wake up? Doesn't every professional athlete wake up every morning with a sense of urgency? Do you have to be in last place to have that?
Well, you know, to have that sense of urgency and to say it kicks in at this point, he was probably asked the question, you know, in some ways. But,
right.
You know, this year more so than others, you know, the Blackhawks, this is kind of unfamiliar territory where they are right now. And they've kind of just cruised through the season in the last 10 years because they've been so good and that core group has been so good. Well, you know, that's not the case this year. And I've been disappointed, and I've said it on the broadcast at certain points this season that, you know, the Blackhawks are missing the point of what's going on here. This is not the old team, and this is going to be a completely different animal as far as what the season's going to pan out like. And, you know, now they're finding themselves in a tough position. They're going to have a real strong second half to put themselves back into the postseason again, and it's not going to be easy. So there better be some urgency. I mean, you haven't quite reached the halfway point, so there's a lot of games left. But you can't kind of fumble around this mediocrity level that they've been, win some, lose some, all season long up to this point, and expect to get into the postseason. So they better have some urgency. And, you know, if you're motivated by the standings, well, you're at the bottom of them right now in the Central Division, so that should help.
Yep, Hawks with 44 points, one back of Colorado. Still within striking distance, but obviously, as you're saying, Muzz, like a lot of work to do here. Troy Murray with us on 720 WGN. I mean, do you think this is just the product of three Stanley Cups, two Olympics, the core of the team getting older? I mean, everybody used to be much faster, and now you're going up against teams that are just flat out faster than the Blackhawks. So the Hawks have slowed down. I mean, at the root of it, is that what you're seeing?
Well, you know, Mark, I agree with that, and yes, I mean, you know, this is not the team that won the Stanley Cup in 2015, and attrition, obviously, because of the salary cap and the restrictions that they have, you are deservedly so rewarded for, you know, winning championships, but, you know, taking care of that core group of guys has put them in a situation where, you know, each and every year they're right up against the cap, and they have to try and figure in how they structure everybody else in. Everybody else has been getting better. You know, Chicago's done an excellent job, and Stan Bowman's done an excellent job within the constraints and confines that he has. But the reality is the NHL wanted a parity, and they've got it, and the Blackhawks are still the Chicago Blackhawks, and every team that plays the Blackhawks brings an A-game mentality to the table. And, you know, the Blackhawks, you know, they're not as quick overall as a group. They're not as skilled overall as they have been in the past. You know, even losing a guy like Marian Hossa this season, that's a big loss. And you lose Nicholas Hjalmarsson. You have to find ways to fill it, but, you know, the voids of these core players that have been such a big part of this franchise, and you fill in with younger guys who have a little bit less in experience. So it's a struggle. And I think that it's been hard for the Blackhawks to get a grasp on the fact that the way that they're going to win hockey games now is not by dominating teams with their skill. It's going to be by outworking them. And they haven't had that 60-minute mentality that you saw from the Las Vegas Golden Knights. There have been bad periods. There's been bad starts that Quenneville has harped upon all season long. You know, this team simply is not as deep, is not as experienced that it has been in the past, and they have to play a different type of game with a different type of mentality if they want to get into the postseason. And up to this point, we've seen it in spurts, but it's been disappointing that the consistency that you're looking for as far as a baseline effort through 60 minutes hasn't been there as much as Joel Quenneville would like it to be.
Troy Murray, 720 WGN, Mark Harmon and Harry Tynowitz. Troy, I want to pat myself on the back here. I'm borderline hockey genius right now because I, you know, on my prep to talk to you today.
Let's not celebrate early there.
Yeah, there's some little bit of tongue in cheek there, but I did write down, like, how much are they missing the leadership and the two-way play of Marian Hossa and the lockdown defense of Hjalmarsson, and you just called it out right there. So obviously you think that both of those have been huge.
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, they're great players, and they're, you know, in my mind, they're two guys that are going to go down as two of the best players in the history of this franchise. Hjalmarsson was one of those guys that you could put him out in all situations that you knew, and Joel counted heavily on him to, you know, supply that defensive job on the penalty killing, important minutes, critical points of hockey games. You'd have Nicholas Hjalmarsson out there along with Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook. So you lose one piece of that triangle on the blue line there. And for Marian Hossa, still as good as he was, probably one of the more underrated players in his time in the NHL. You just didn't realize or don't realize how good of a player he was at all areas of the ice. The defensive game was spectacular. The way that he tracked pucks down, his leadership role inside the locker room, not a vocal guy, but just the way that he trained, how good a shape he came in and how his preparation was, is something that is lost inside the locker room. And that experience, you know, has to be absorbed by some younger guys that are, you know, sooner or later you hope to put them in the same mold or get them up near that same level, but they're not there right now.
Troy, it was great seeing Sharpie get, you know, net the game winner in Madison Square Garden the other night. Sharp is beloved in this town. Brandon Saad grew a big fan base before he went to Columbus and now came back. Are you surprised that the Hawks aren't getting more production from Saad and Sharp?
Well, I think you can ask them directly and say that, you know, they're not having the type of seasons that they would hope to. I'm not going to, you know, sit here and say that, you know, they're not performing, but what was expected from them coming in was a higher level. And, you know, for Patrick Sharp, there's a healthy scratch sometimes. I'm sure that doesn't sit well. And I'll give Patrick a lot of credit because he's worked extremely hard when he hasn't been in the lineup to give him the best opportunity to succeed when he gets that chance. And, you know, hopefully for him, goals in two straight games kind of spurs him to, you know, picking up that level that the Blackhawks were hoping for when he was brought back into the fold. And with Brandon Saad, you know, there's been some real inconsistent times with Jonathan Toews, who, you know, they need both of those guys, not just in particular Brandon Saad, but Jonathan Toews as well, who those guys have both three-game point streaks going now, along with Vinny Hinostroza, who's got points in four straight games. So hopefully things are turning around in the right direction. But that line, you know, you've been pretty constant with Patrick Kane, who's been the most, you know, the best forward for the Blackhawks all season long, the most consistent forward. But he's going to need a lot of help down the stretch because you can always focus on Patrick Kane. And if you don't have those other layers of scoring that you thought you were going to get when Brandon Saad was brought into the equation along with Jonathan Toews, those guys have to have some real strong second half of the season.
Blackhawks at Edmonton Oilers tomorrow, 1:30 pregame, 2 o'clock the puck drop with Chris Bowden on the pregame with Troy, and then, of course, John and Troy on the broadcast. Hey, Troy, what's going on with Richard Panik? He's you know, got the money in the offseason, and the work ethic I'm sure is there, but hasn't been on the ice a bunch of times now with just not active. What do you see going on?
Well, I think yesterday was a big step in the right direction, and it looks like Joel Quenneville will make John Hayden a healthy scratch in the game tomorrow against the Oilers. You know, if Richard Panik doesn't bring offense to the table, he's got to do something to help the team. And in the game last night, he was very noticeable. He had 6 hits in that game. And, you know, he does have that element of physicality. He's a big guy. And if you're not scoring, you better bring some of that to the table. And I think Joel Quenneville saw enough in that from him last night that he's going to get another opportunity, albeit down on a line with Tommy Wingles and Lance Bowman. So he's not going to slot in with Jonathan Toews or in the top you know, 3 lines mix it, which you like to see. Admittedly, he said, you know, I wanted to come in here and build off what I did last year, and his 22 goals picked up a real nice contract. And I don't think anybody, Stan Bowman, Joel Quenneville, or even Richard Panik himself would think that he is would struggle as much as he has in this season. Started off good, 26 games now when he's been in the lineup that he hasn't scored a goal. So, you know, hopefully he finds, you know, some kind of excitement in his game going forward here, because the Blackhawks counted heavily on him in a top 6 role, and you know, now you're finding him as a healthy scratch as well. So you know, when I look at guys who struggle to put the puck in the back of the net, if it gets inside their brain, they get a little bit messed up and they start squeezing their stick and forcing it too much. You just have to simplify the game. And for Richard Panik, it starts with being physical. If he's physical, it'll get himself mentally involved in the game, and hopefully he can start scoring some goals and finding some confidence at that side. But you just simplify the game, get pucks to the net, stick around the front of the net, and hope you get something to go off your backside or a rebound and build from there.
Hey, Troy, I'm so glad you brought up that fourth line. You know, Tommy Wingles has been terrific, and even though he didn't score on it last night, he corralled a puck when they were on that first penalty kill and made a really nice move and almost got the puck past Subban for a goal. You were part of one of the greatest line names ever, the Clydesdales. You, Kurt Frazier, the great Eddie Olczyk, were the Clydesdales. I have a line for when Hayden and Boma and Wingles play. I have a name. Tell me what you think. It's kind of stupid, but this is my world. So Boma's 17 and Hayden is 40. If you add them up, they're 57, which is the number Wingles wears. It's the equation line. Huh? Huh? Do anything for you?
Jeez.
Harry, you're killing me. You're killing me, Smalls.
All right.
The equation line. Harry Tynowitz. That could be the key to, you know, the resurrection of this show.
If we have to throw that out there and everybody starts trying to figure it out and to explain it, might be a little difficult.
if you can't
add like me.
This is a little tongue in cheek, Troy, but maybe there's also something to it. Like last week, we were talking about the Bulls, and I believe that your adding is actually better than your math skills are better than you're letting on. And people are saying, hey, maybe we can get Bobby Portis to go over to Blackhawks practice and punch someone to you know, stir some things up. Do they need something like that to I don't know, ratchet it up? Do we need some drama? What do you think?
Well, I liked what I saw from John Hayden in the game last night. You know, he realized that the Blackhawks just went down 3-1, and he picked a fight with a defenseman from Vegas called named Lucas Pisa, and right after that, the Blackhawks scored a couple goals. So I think that, you know, Hayden read the situation the way that he should, and I give credit to Pisa for, you know, a lot of times when you issue that challenge in today's game, a lot of players, we're up two goals, we're not going to, you know, give you any life, any momentum. That fourth line is done exactly what they have been expected to all season long. They're physical every time that they're out on the ice. Very seldom does that line get outworked. John Hayden is a big physical guy, and he's played that way all season long. So I don't think that you need a whole lot more than that. I would like to see more guys get involved in the physical side of it, but sometimes a team's just not structured like that, and players aren't built like that, and that's not their mentality.
Yeah, that line's been really good all year, that equation line.
If I use that tomorrow, I'm going to throw it all on you.
I'll be listening.
The whole game.
Just waiting for it.
With both ears. Troy, always great to have you. We'll listen to you tomorrow. You're the best, and hopefully the Blackhawks will get rolling here.
Mark, Harry, thanks for having me on, guys. Always appreciate it.